To understand Sunjiv Sahota, you have to know how he works.
I write in a very solitary way, you know, the blinds are drawn, the door's shut, I can't have any natural light, it's putting myself into a cave almost.
Just watch your head on this lintel.
Shall I follow you down?
And to see what he means, we're going down the stairs to a room in the basement of his home in Sheffield.
I think it will be this one.
It's sufficiently dark and windowless. I tend to work probably in quite austere conditions, so I think a desk and a chair, and I tend not to spend much time looking around.
Well, I'm speechless. I would find it too depressing down here, but clearly you don't want any distractions.
And while it may sound unusual, it seems to work. His second novel, The Year of the Runaways, has been shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize. It delves into the lives of a group of Indian migrants who make their way to England and end up in Sheffield.
All clear up. Half a minute.
For the ferry to England, he hid in the back of the lorry. Dotchi hunkered down, knees tight to his chest and head tucked in. It was as dark as a well. Metal barrels surrounded him, right above his head too, their clinking the only sound. He fell asleep.
Did you set out to write a book about the issues of the day?
No, not at all. Immigration's always been part of my personal history. My grandparents and parents made the move over here from India. There's no shortage of young men and women who seem quite desperate to come to the West for what they hope will be a better life for themselves and their families.
Sunjiv Sahota studied maths at university, embarked on a career in the insurance industry before publishing his first novel by the age of 30. And now he says he wants to dignify the lives of those who haven't been so lucky.
And so we're just on Ecclesall Road, which is a busy high street, and a road I imagined the characters in my novel walking down quite often. These young men and women leading these hidden lives, I think they're in all our major cities. In our takeaways, in our restaurants, cleaning our sewers, building our hotels.
The other British writer on the shortlist is Tom McCarthy, and I'm now on my way to London, where his book Satin Island is set.
Take away, my friend, yeah?
This is what London kind of is now, isn't it? It's just a Pret after a Starbucks after a Pret. You know, it's not about the individual spirit of a place, it's about repetition.
And that analysis of modern life is at the heart of Satin Island. It's an avant-garde tale about an anthropologist who works for a big corporate consultancy contemplating the way we live now.
One evening, I found myself stuck in Turin Airport. Around me and my screen, more screens of other laptops, mobiles, televisions. One screen showed highlights of a football game. Another showed an oil spill.
There's not much plot in Satin Island, very little character development, and no linear narrative. And that, according to Tom McCarthy, reflects reality in the 21st century.
The question of how does one write in an age of data saturation, that was the big thing I was grappling with. We all spend our lives looking at screens and moving sideways through information, and this is kind of what the novel's about.
It's a short novel. I read it in an afternoon.
It's longer than The Great Gatsby.
It's quite a short novel.
Oh, it's a short novel. I became obsessed with... I went on howlongisthisnovel.com, so I was interested to find it. It's shorter than As I Lay Dying, but longer than The Great Gatsby. Who'd have thought it?
Tom McCarthy may be preoccupied with the length of his novel, but the breadth of his career is just as eye-catching. He's also a conceptual artist and was once even a nude model. Little wonder, then, that he's interested in writing an unconventional story.
I didn't want to just work on known ground in a known way. If I was not infuriating conservatives, I guess I wouldn't be doing my job properly.
Here we go. Have a nice day, yeah? Thank you very much.